Praise God Adult Bible Study. Glory be to God. Have Caleb going to come minister the word to us tonight. Actually, Margaret and I were going to be out this week. We weren't leaving town. We were just going to take some daily motorcycle rides, which we did Monday and Tuesday, but with Sheila having to quarantine, and she's all right, but having to quarantine, and Pastor John being out, we needed to get up here and be around because we just had one person in the office and, you know, all that stuff. Praise God. But John is doing good. Glory to God. We're so glad. He you know, he's on MediShare. That's one of the Christian organizations for health insurance. And he called today them, because you try to call locally and you just can't, you know, kind of swamped right now. But, you know, you talk to the doctor on the video, whatever, and the doctor said, I hadn't heard this before, but she said, well, a lot of people with COVID have trouble with their throat, and so she said, ask him some questions. I will send you a prescription out. And so since he coated his throat with that, he has been much, much better as far as his comfort level. So that's wonderful. Amen. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. Don't ever be against doctors and medicine. Didn't get much of an amen on that, but don't be against doctors. I mean, they're fighting against the same thing we're fighting against. They're fighting against sickness and disease. The medical profession, believe it or not, despite all the conspiracy theories these days, are full of love and full of compassion. You know, Luke was a physician. And many of them feel a calling to it, and many of them pray with their patients. Not all of them, but many of them pray with their patients and so forth. So, you know, glory to God. I don't know what being a conspiracy theorist has to do with being conservative, tell you the truth, or has to do with Christian necessarily. Just food for thought, especially when they're easily disproved as being a total falsehood and a total lie. Do we believe in the truth, or do we believe in the truth? Well, that went over big. I mean, I'm just setting them up real good for you there, Caleb. I'm sorry about that, buddy. I wish I had a good joke to tell him, get him in a better mood, but just something to think about. Amen. Our youth pastor, praise God. We are so delighted to have him working with us full time. Pastor Caleb Ongoing.
Well, praise the Lord. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Good deal. I'm excited to be ministering the word to you tonight. And I believe that the Lord has something good in store. I believe that anytime we take a deep dive into the Word, He's got something to reveal to us, something to show us, something to tell us. Amen. So let's pray before we get started, and then we'll see what He's got for us. Father, I thank You for this evening. God, I thank You that I'm Your mouthpiece tonight. Father, I thank You that You would say what You need to say, that You would convey what You need to convey, that You would get across what You need to get across to the people. Father, I thank You that Your Holy Spirit is evident in this place tonight. God, I thank You that as we yield to You, that You show up in a big way. Father, that we have ears to hear and hearts to receive. So, Father, I thank You that as we do our part tonight to be attentive and to take from Your Word what You have for us, God, I thank You that You would bless us in abundance. God, I thank You that You would honor the things that are important to us as we honor You tonight, God. Father, we thank You for all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. All right. If you got your Bible, and I hope you do, because this is church, right?
Amen.
You came into the house of the Lord tonight, so let's come prepared. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that's where we're going to start tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting with verse 1. And it says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good and His mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
For He is good and His mercy endures forever. You need to be saying that. You need to be saying those words on a daily basis. Not just when we come to church, not just when we all gather together, on a daily basis. Let's say that together one more time. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Now, we kind of have a fascination with things that have been around for a long time, don't we? We're not as accustomed to it as much here in the U.S. because we're a relatively young nation, right? We're 200 plus years old. But if you go to places like Europe or Africa or Asia, it's not something that has been there for 200 years. It's not something that has been there for 500 years. It's a lot of times something that has been standing there for 1,000 plus years, right? And people will line up around these things, and they will ooh, and they will ah. Why? Because they're old. These things are old, right? No, it's because they have, as we say, stood the test of time. Amen? In some of these places, these monuments or statues or structures have withstood wars. They have endured storms of all kinds, natural and man-made. And when the dust settles, they were still standing. And when God talks about the part of Him that keeps going, that is everlasting, right? What is He talking about? Is He talking about His anger? His wrath? Is that what God's talking about? No, we see in Psalms 30, verse 5, that His anger lasts only but a moment, right? Only but a moment. So is it His judgment? Is that what lasts forever, His judgment? No, it's His mercy. It's His mercy. It's His loving kindness. It's His tender mercies that endure forever. And endurance, really, endurance is an amazing thing, right? And it's such a part of like fitness, right? People overlook endurance. When people start working out, more often than not, at least for guys, I can say this is true, they start with power, right? Power. I want to get stronger. I want to get bigger. I want to push more. I want to lift more. But a big part of fitness that gets overlooked is endurance. See, it's great if you can lift all of that weight. It's awesome. But if you can only work out for a couple minutes at a time, that's not doing you a whole lot of good, is it? Is it? We just had Judah's birthday party several days ago. He actually lucked out because he got two birthday parties. He got a friend party, and then he got a party over at Nana and Poppy's house. So we had his friend party over at our house, and he wanted a Cars movie birthday party. This boy loves Cars. I don't know what it is. If you've ever seen the Cars movies, there's like three of them. We've seen them probably 100 times each. And we have just about everything Cars that you can imagine. We've got the toy cars. We've got t-shirts. We've got backpacks. We've got jackets. We've got coloring books. We've got racetracks. We've got the little hauler truck that you can put all the cars on. And it's just Cars heaven at our house. And I know a lot of you have probably seen the movie, the first one in particular. So if you remember in the first movie, in the opening scene, Lightning McQueen gives himself the pep talk, right? I am speed. Quicker than quick, faster than fast, I am speed. That's what he tells himself, right? That's how he gets himself pumped up for the big race. I am speed. Now, if I were to ask you, who is the fastest man on earth? You would say, I heard somebody say it. Usain Bolt. Yeah, Usain Bolt. These guys that run in the Olympics, that break all these records, man, they are fast for a little while, right? They're fast for a little while, these sprinters. Everybody loves speed and things that move fast, especially in our culture, in our society, right? We're all about speed. We're all about get it to me fast, get it to me quick, right? Because it's quick and it's efficient, right? Or at least it should be. Some places haven't streamlined those things. But it's quick and it's efficient. We live in a fast, fast, fast society. So, fastest man on the planet, without a doubt, I would say, is still Usain Bolt with all the records that he has set. But how many of you are Dean Karnazes fans? No? You got your Dean Karnazes t-shirt? You go to your Dean Karnazes fan club meeting? Well, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. You have no idea who Dean Karnazes is, right? Well, let me tell you. Unless you're into endurance running, you're probably not going to have any idea who Dean Karnazes is. So just a few of his accomplishments, the first being the 50-50-50. That was 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 consecutive days. Any of you think you could probably do that? 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 consecutive days. Another one that is really impressive, in 2005, Karnazes ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes without stopping. 350 miles, 80 hours without stopping. That means no sleep. I mean, just going for it. Now, I'm not surprised that none of you knew who Dean Karnazes was, because endurance isn't really what grabs people's attention, right? But it sure gets God's, because it is so a part of who he is. Amen? It's so a part of who God is. His mercy endures for how long?
Forever.
Think of all the things that you have thrown at his mercy. Think of all the things that just you have done. Think about all of the wars that his mercy has endured, and yet it is still standing. Which means it'll be there tonight when you lay down to go to sleep. Which means it'll be there in the morning when you wake up.
Thank you, Jesus.
His mercy endures forever. Now, when we read in 2 Chronicles, we read that they dedicated the temple and the fire of God filled the temple, and the people did what? They bowed down and they worshiped. Amen. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, I shall lightly esteemed, or they shall be lightly esteemed. Now this word honor is also translated glory. We're talking about something that is valuable, something that is weighty. What things you value and give weight to. And God is saying here that those who put value on me, I will put value on them. And those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. Now, don't paint this picture in your head that God is somehow saying that if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But if you don't, then forget you, right? No, because honestly, that's a childish line of thinking, and it's not indicative of God at all, right? He desires to do it for you, right? He desires to do these things for you, but he can't if there is not an open door. He wants to take these things that are important to you and give weight to them and be involved in every part of it, but he's not standing at the door beating on it saying, if you don't open this door in the next 5 seconds, I'm knocking it down whether you like it or not. That's not God. That's not what God is saying, is he? No, because we see in Scripture in Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door knocking. It doesn't say, I'm coming in whether you like it or not. And you and I both know that there has been some awful, horrible teaching along these lines. Well, God is God, and bless God, God's going to do whatever God wants to do. That's not what I see in Scripture. See, it sounds like you're talking real big about him, but it's simply not the truth. Amen? I think when we talk about the sovereignty of God, we talk about God as a tyrant. God is sovereign. Amen? Yes. He is sovereign, but he's not sovereign in such a way that he is going to take control of everything. And some people, that's what they want him to do. Just take control of everything, God. I don't want any responsibility on me. It's all on you. God is God. And I do believe that his plan will be accomplished on this earth no matter what. But whether or not you get used is up to you. Whether or not he is able to use you is up to you. And if we're wise, when we hear him knocking and we hear his voice, we'll open the door. Because that's what honor does. It gives him access. Amen? Honor gives him access, gives him opportunity. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. Everybody doing okay? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction," there he goes measuring again, right? Lightly esteemed, light affliction. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." God is comparing things in a different weight, different values. That's what it is to despise God. If you were to tell somebody that's what they were doing, if you were to tell somebody that they were despising God or that they despised God, they would be so offended. "How dare you? I love God. I believe God is a good God." That's not what we're talking about. To despise God doesn't mean that you hate Him. It means that you don't put the same value on what He puts value on.
Yeah, right.
We don't give His things, the things that He's concerned about, the things that He's truly concerned about. Come on, somebody. The things that He's actually concerned about. We don't put the same value on those things. We don't put the same weight on those things that He does. And that is what it is to despise God. And I think it's incredible that we have all of these people in here tonight who value what God values. We have people watching online who have made the conscious decision to log on and hook up with us because they value what God values, to honor what He gives honor to. I believe it's so important to come in to the house of God to receive from the Word, to be in a place of fellowship with fellow believers. It's something that is invaluable. Amen. The fact that we get to assemble together, amen, it is a right and a privilege that we are so lucky to have in this country. Say what you will about this country and the direction that this country is going, because there are other places where they are being put in jail for stepping outside their door. The climate is not so good there. But we get to come in here and we get to assemble together and we get to honor what God honors. We get to come into the temple, if you will. Amen? And we get to, hopefully, experience the fire of God falling in this place. And if we're obedient and if we yield to it, just like those in 2 Chronicles, we will bow, we will put our face on the floor, and we will worship Him, and we will honor Him, and we will give glory to Him. Why? Because that's what He deserves. And when we place value on that, it's endless what He can do. Amen. So what, backing up just a little bit, what does that do? Honoring what He honors and valuing what He values, what does that do? It opens the door, right? Like we said before, it opens the door. It gives Him access, and now He can operate in your life. Now that you've given him access, now he can do the work. Amen? Because we already looked at it and we already said that he wants to do it. He wants to be involved. But we have to allow access. As we honor him, he honors us. We just read 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. Let's read 17 again. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So what are we looking at? What are we looking at? Are you looking at what's against you, or are you looking to the one who is for you? The more you look at the problem, the more weight you give to it. The more value you place on it. And you know you can get to a place where you actually worship the problem? Just telling it like it is. You can get to a place where you focus on that thing so much and you give so much time and attention to it that that thing actually becomes an idol. And that thing becomes more valuable to you. I'm not saying that it's something that you want. I'm not saying that it's something you desire. But when you give time and attention, and when you give place to it, and when you give weight to it, something that started out so small has now become this great monstrosity of an idol. You're actually giving that problem, that situation, that circumstance, that thing, you are giving it place above God. Meanwhile, God is knocking, saying, "Give me your attention. Give my words your attention and affection, and I will outweigh that thing in a second." I talk all the time, it seems like it just keeps coming around, but I talk all the time about the power of perspective. The power of your perspective and shifting your view from here to here. And it's a simple analogy, but if you have a little God, you've got big problems, right? But if you have a great big God whose mercies endure forever, and your problems ain't that bad. Amen? Shift your perspective. Shift your view of things. What are you looking at? What are you giving place to? God's mercy endures forever. His mercies are new every single morning. Let's not lightly esteem the things that God calls valuable. If we give him honor, he will in turn honor our things, our business, our family. Amen? If we give him glory, then we open the door for him, just like in the temple, for him to pour out his glory on our lives. Amen? When we honor Him, He honors us. When we make Him first place. Our things are important to God. Our endeavors, our businesses, our families, our things, they're important to God. But if we don't get Him involved in them, then He can't do anything with it. Amen? It's no secret that the Word continuously says that God should come first, right? I mean, it's the Ten Commandments. It's, you know, it's kind of important that God comes first. And then when we put Him in that place, when we seek first the kingdom of God, and He says all of those other things, it's the trickle-down effect, yeah. Right? When we make Him the big thing, then He can take care of the little things. And it's everlasting. It's everlasting. It endures forever. His mercies, His loving kindness toward us as we give place to the things that He calls valuable, when we honor His things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to say what You want to say. Father, I thank You that as we go throughout the rest of our week, as we go throughout the rest of this season, Father, I thank You that we would not amplify the wrong things. God, I thank You that we would focus on the things that ultimately You are concerned about, the things that You consider to be valuable, the things that You give weight to. And Father, I thank You that as we are faithful to do these things, God, that we would see an outpouring of Your Spirit, that we would see an outpouring of Your glory, that the fire would fall from heaven. And Father, that it would burn up all of the nonsense, that it would burn up all of the things that You don't care about, that it would burn up all of the things that You are not concerned about. God, we give honor to You. We give honor to the things that You give honor to. Father, we thank You for Your mercy, for Your love, for Your grace. Father, for all of the things that You have done in our lives, all of the things that You're continuing to do, and for everything that You are about to do. Because we truly believe that our best days are still in front of us. Father, I thank You that as we read Your Word and as we spend time with You and Your Holy Spirit, Father, I thank You that we would continue to develop more and more who we are in You and who You are in us, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much, guys, for your attention and your time. I truly appreciate it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Caleb. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it again, for the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad His mercy endures forever?
Yes.
Amen, 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 amen. As A.W. Schembuck always said, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. You know where he got that story? He was invited to eat dinner with a man after the service at her home, their palatial home, and he went there. Long, long story short, because you can look it up on the internet actually, and hear him tell the story. Sometimes he'll take 45 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, but he got there, and the man began to tell him how his businesses had failed. He became sick. There was no medical insurance. You know, this goes back 67 years ago. He didn't have any medical insurance. All his money was gone. His wife left him. He ended up in the hospital. He was dying. He didn't have any religion. They sent in a priest to read the man his last rites. Now, you're just minutes away from death. He said, but when he walked out and the doctors walked out, he said another doctor walked in dressed in a white robe. He said, but he didn't use the door. He just walked through the walls. Shembach said, he got my attention. He said, I put down my steak and my turkey and everything they had, the big feast. He said, Jesus walked over to me and said to this man who is within just a few minutes of dying, who was broke, whose wife had left him, and Jesus said, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Wow, heaven's perspective. And Jesus told him that he was healed and told him to when he left, to go to the first bookstore he could find or get the Bible and read the Gospel of John, for in it he would find life. And he said he turned around and walked out of the room, and the man got up out of bed, totally healed and whole. Hallelujah. Amen. Perspective from Jesus's problem. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith to receive what I have already provided for you. Can you say amen? Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Prayer will start here in about 15 minutes. God bless. And by the way, when you come to prayer, if you just want to stay for 10 minutes, you can stay. That won't offend us, and then leave if you can. You know, we understand that. But we'll start prayer in about 15 minutes. God bless you. You're dismissed.